Blog Talk Radio.
Public ministry of Jesus is filled with encounters of persons whose lives had become derailed through us and through what they had experienced in life. The public ministry of Jesus was about bring into the lives of the persons of the first century AD the kingdom of God and the new reality of the kingdom of God. And so the public ministry of Jesus was a fulfillment of what many of the Old Testament prophets has spoken about with regard to the coming of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God would come in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, that is, Jesus the Messiah. At the beginning of his public ministry, he had chosen for himself, that is, Jesus had chosen for himself persons who would be in public ministry with himself. These individuals will be trained to carry on the ministry of Jesus when he will depart for the third heaven. After, of course, his post-resurrection appearance. But we have a very incredible encounter that is recorded for us in John chapter 4. This narrative has to do with the meeting that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman. Now, let me remind you that within the Old Testament, we are told that the kingdom that was founded by God as one, that is the kingdom of Israel, was later divided by God into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. In 722 BC, the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. Many of the persons, that is, those who were not killed, were carried away and resettled in other areas. That is, they were taken away from their homeland. they were exiled. Not only were they exiled, but they were absorbed by these other nations. And the Assyrians brought in other peoples who had resettled the land. And so there were a few persons from Israel who had left in the land, of course, were left, and they, of course, had married with the new settlers. And so this is the origin of the Samaritans. And they became despised by those who saw themselves as traditional Jews or totally unlike themselves. So there was this prejudice that lived among these people. So we have this curious episode in which Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman in public. Now, this is a very compelling narrative because she would come to discover what she had sorely needed, but she had no conscious awareness of this great need in her life. And so I want you to hear, be very careful, be methodical, therapeutic procedure of Jesus. I want you to hear the presenting problem in this therapeutic encounter. And I want you to hear the very skillful manner in which Jesus addresses what she wants him to hear as opposed to what he knows. And so here we are going to see an encounter between a life lie and then the truth in the person of Jesus. And so I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of John chapter 4. "And therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." This is a very important verse, verse 3. And notice the nature of the verse. Notice this, the way the sentence is written. "He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee," verses 3 and 4, I might add. "And he must needs go through Samaria." Now, the word here for "must needs" is the Greek word "dei," D-E-I, which means it is necessary in the nature of the case. So it was necessary in the nature of the case that he go through Samaria. Verse 5 reads, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the pastoral ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." So, please note the reality of his physical body. He was fatigued, and yet his compelling mission was still at the forefront of his thinking. And so it just so happens that he stops us as well, and it's about the sixth hour. And here is the other part of the story. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me a drink." Another important item is skillfully brought in by the writer. Verse 8 states, "For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food." Now, it is very interesting that the disciples were not there, and there was, as I stated earlier, this prejudice between the Orthodox Jew and the Samaritan. And the saying of that, they said that there was no dealing. We have no dealing with the Samaritans. So Jesus sent his disciples away. He loved them. He trained them. But they were not ready for what he was about to do with the Samaritan woman. And so, verse 9 says, "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaria." And so we have the barrier, or seen as seeing barrier, the barrier of prejudice, the barrier of preconception, and the barrier of attributes or behavior that are expected, so that one does not go further. It is, of course, entirely subjective, and the woman considers this a major barrier. And notice what Jesus says to her. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." So, what she is going to discover is that the revelation of the Messiah to her will be as in gradually. There is a hardness there at the moment it has taken. The Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan. It's the barrier. And then Jesus skillfully moves from her reply, and he goes back to the statement about water. What is necessary? He is never led astray. He never chases areas that are not vital to his ultimate concern. His ultimate concern is her soul, is her eternal welfare. She does not see this. She does not know this. But he does. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" And verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again," speaking of the water from Jacob's well. "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life." So she speaks, she replies to him in a half-ironical tone or manner. Verse 15, the woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." And so there is this manner in which she speaks to him, and there is with a note of curiosity, but there is a tone about her words. And yet, she has not walked off. She remains at the well, speaking to him, and there is a curiosity. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, "Go, call thy husband and come hither. And so Jesus moves on to another topic. Saying, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, or said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. So now comes the break. He sees through what is going on in her life. And there is an attempt to veil her estate. That is what is going on in her life. And Jesus moves from speaking about the water of eternal life to her condition, the reality of what is going on in her life, her personal life. Verse 18, Jesus said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou true. Knows her life. And he reveals his knowledge of her life in a way that is not offensive, but it is most certainly the reality of her situation. And so, her knowledge of what is going on in her own life is being brought up by Jesus. Her awareness. She knows, of course, what is going on in her life. But now there is a new awareness. And let me show you why. Verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. This is very interesting because now the discussion, there is a progress. She does not deny what he has revealed to her, but he knows, she knows something about him. He has allowed himself in this revelation to be seen as a prophet. She perceives it. She knows it. She does not deny. She does not resist his revelation. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She had never seen him before, nor known him. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She goes back to a religious discussion. And verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Language, very simple, but it is highly didactic in that he moves her away from religious prejudice and he makes her aware of what is vital. And so, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must. And here we have the Greek term they once again. Jesus is necessary in the nature of the case. Once again, God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And so here is a vital point in this therapeutic encounter. He exposes religious lie. He exposes the life lie. He knows that Stilos, which is a Greek word for lie, is not intrinsic to the created order. Stilos is not intrinsic. Aletheia, which is a Greek word for truth, is. He is the truth. And so he unmasked, as it were, her life lie, or her life lie. Verse 24, God is spirit. God is spirit. Spirit is the spirit of God is not a white ghostly figure. Spirit of God is immaterial. Some theologians call it simple essence. I have no idea what that means, but it means to some degree that the spirit essence is not joined to material essence or to a body. So I think it is an unfortunate term of simple essence. We are speaking of God. We're speaking of divine essence. We're speaking of the intrinsic essence of God, which is prior to the created order. You and I know now that matter or mass is a standing wave function imposed on void. We seek to incorporate or materiality. And Einstein has told us what the material order is, what it is like. And so here, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship God, in spirit and in truth. Now, Jesus never says anything to her like know thyself. He points specifically to God. And Jesus never says anything about unconditional positive regard. He does not talk about the intrinsic difference of person. That is not divine viewpoint as recorded in Scripture. They that worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. Scripture gives us the true nature of man, what is really going on in his heart. And there's no such thing as the intrinsic difference of persons. Such a statement does not cause the flesh, the sarks, to bristle in rejection. God tells the truth because persons must need understand their true condition. If there is to be salvation, if there is to be real healing. In fact, according to John chapter 3, God demands regeneration of the human, the cardia. Because prior to salvation, the human heart is darkness, not speaking darkness. But the human dark, but the human heart is darkness. So that is the cogent statement, the cogent awareness, the compelling reality of the Scripture. The Scripture speaks about the true nature of the human entity before salvation. But then God talks about what is required in order to see his kingdom, and that is truth. God, the psalmist says, arise, thou desirest truth in the inward heart. Let me go on. The woman, verse 25, saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? They kept quiet. The woman then left the water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the man, Come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came up to him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have food to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, after the man brought him out to eat. Jesus saith unto them, My food is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already for harvest. Now, Jesus, of course, moves beyond the discussion with the disciples of whether or not he had eaten to spiritual openness concern. He says the fields are white unto harvest. There are souls, thirsty souls. There are souls who need the bread of life. There are souls who need the water of life. They need the word of God. This woman goes back, and she becomes a witness. She testifies to her encounter with Jesus. And notice what happens. Verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all things that ever I did. There's no more resistance on her part. There's no more barrier. There's no more talk of Jacob's well. There's no more talk of her, what she worshipped as a Samaritan. Truth had been free. She was now a different person. Now notice in verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him to tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. They wanted to feed on his presence. They wanted to know more, and so therefore he taught them. He gave himself to them. They were spiritually famished. And so he gave himself to them. He abode there 2 days, and no difference was what he was. And many more believed because of his own word. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying. We have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed then and went into Galilee. So it is with the presence of God. God has come that you and I might have life in super abundance. The people of the Lord will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when our life lies, we come to see and we come to know the truth of who and what God has said. Peter and John preach to see and ask God to reveal himself to you as your Savior. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful